You're listening to 1520 AM WCAG Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCAG1520.com.
First of all, calling with props. Truly, Rob. And this is only to make you shut those freaking sound effects off. No, I listen to your show. When I'm home on Fridays at that time, I pop the stream on here in Nashville. That is a tough subject to do well, as is evidenced by probably only one other human being in the world who's ever been able to do it properly.
And who's that?
That would be Mr. Bell.
Whoa. You mentioning me and Bell in the same breath?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, you're different sides of the same coin. If you call Bell and say, I was abducted by aliens, he's your advocate. You are as well, but you'll also play the sounds of an anal probe. Fuck, you're doing that. You have a lot more fun with it than he does without demeaning the subject matter or the people who call in.
Love it, love it, love it. That was from Steve Bryant. If you ever want to know anything about the Steve Bryant man, go onto my Facebook page. Actually, I don't think I have his information up there. So look up Steve Bryant. He does his own show out of Nashville. And he's really a good guy. I really love having him on. I was actually appearing on the morning show when he called up and talked about our show. So it was really cool to have that. What I want to do is I want to bring up a gentleman that I've been talking about for the past hour. He is Drew Maris, author of the book Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. Welcome to the show, Drew.
Thank you for having me, sir. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, you know, we've been playing tag back and forth a lot, and it's all been my fault because, the times I'm able to call you are times that you clearly told me, hey, I'm not available during that time. So I'm glad you're able to hang with us and plan this out. So very very well. Welcome to the show. Give everybody a little bit of a bio on you. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself so we can set this up.
Sure thing, Rob. Well, first off, like I said, it's an honor to speak with you and your audience listening here today. And I should really start off by saying thank you for having me on your show. And right off the bat, thank you to all those crusaders spearheading this kind of charge who are at the forefront of this movement. I mean, not myself, the real pioneers and veterans who have earned their stripes fighting for a cause much, much greater than themselves. And the individuals who have been in the trenches taking the grenades in a war zone amount of flack for trying to reveal the unsugar-coated truth behind December 21st in 2012. So a thousand thank yous to everybody out there who has really paved the way for the younger generation such as myself. But I just want to—I have to let the audience that I've always been fascinated and intrigued by the paranormal and the things that cannot be explained by scientific explanation. I've always had a knack for that ever since I was a kid. And I tailored and I crafted this book for the believer and the non-believer alike, Rob, right or wrong. This book's intention was to take a baseball bat to the hornet's nest and to get people talking about these controversial subjects in debate arenas across the globe. And once again, Rob, I always saw myself as an original, not a print, and have never floated on that conveyor belt of conformity. Besides the Marine Corps, which is conformity all the way. But I believe that I could broach this UFO or ufology subject and December 21st, 2012 topic kind of from another angle, a unique angle to really open people's eyes with. And it was, that unique blueprint and vision that I had that led me to plant the seed that eventually brought about the cultivation of my book, which is, of course, the book we're talking about, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. I could have gone into made a career out of the Marine Corps and joined the intelligence communities, but then I think I'd only be a victim of my own hypocrisy in helping to conceal the truth, really, rather than helping to reveal the truth, which is why I'm on the phone with you and speaking to you and your audience today. So I would see this as my continued service to the country and to the people of this awesome, great nation, because I really believe to sin by silence When We Should Protest Makes Cowards Out of Men. So this book is definitely provocative. But in today's day, if you want people to listen to you, Rob, and everybody else out there listening, you probably know, I mean, and to use a figure of speech, you can't just tap people on the shoulder anymore. No. Rather, you have to hit them with a sledgehammer to get their attention, of course, figuratively speaking. The words of my book, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond, act as that sledgehammer to open people's eyes with. And Rob, you had asked me about my past and what really inspired me to write this book. I should let the audience know, I embarked on this mission several years ago. I said I was fascinated by the paranormal when I was a kid. I still am fascinated. And I embarked on this mission when I was serving in the Marine Corps Infantry. And this is where I learned from an array of high-ranking officials and pilots, off the record, of course, that there was much, much more, Rob, to this subject than they currently portray to the public. And I say off the record because for enlisted personnel that I was speaking with, to divulge any kind of top-secret classified intel, I mean, it's certain to tarnish or even terminate their military careers. But nowadays, the ones who really want to ask, I mean, nowadays more and more people are coming forward and talking about it, and disclosure is becoming more and more common. But, the ones to really talk to are the retired military pilots, and military personnel, and especially the astronauts. The retired astronauts, what they are talking about on their deathbed, we need to listen to and take at face value. And furthermore, the public needs to know that pilots and astronauts are the number one and number two witnesses to UFO and USO activity. And I should just, take a step back here and tell the audience, and I bet you know, Rob, but do you know what a USO is?
Unidentified submerged object?
Exactly. In case the audience does not know, a UFO, which everybody probably knows what that equals, unidentified flying object, and that falls into the Air Force intelligence communities. A USO is an unidentified submerged object, and that falls into the naval intelligence communities. What they are finding, they are not disclosing to the public. And a USO becomes a UFO when it breaches the water's surface. So, back to what these astronauts and pilots say. I mean, what they say counts, and their words should be taken at face value because these individuals have been thoroughly trained and conditioned to observe their surrounding airspace, and they know the fingerprints of both foreign and domestic aircraft and targets to a T. I mean, they've been groomed for this. They've been conditioned for this. Practiced in wartime situations for this. These individuals have no reason to embellish or fabricate lies.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, I just want to give everybody your website real quick. If you want to follow along and see on the internet, go to openyoureyes2012andbeyond.com. That's open your eyes to the numbers 2012. And then the words beyond and beyond.com. You'll be able to see the website we're talking about. You'll be able to preview the book. I see your picture in here, young man. I got a little bit of a man crush going on here. And I'm digging it, man. I love the website. Whoever did it, man, did a heck of a job. So I'm really liking it. And, to write a book, Drew, is really a big leap of faith. And you had to take a big leap of faith. You know what I'm talking about. But my thing is that the propensity of evidence has changed over the years. How many times have you heard that, if somebody credible comes forward and talks about UFOs, then I'll believe them? Well, mm-hmm, exactly. It was a yard. That was the yardstick everything was measured by. Now it seems to be a slide rule because now that's no longer good because we have presidents, we have governors, we have so many credible people, quote unquote, coming forward. Now it's different. Now there's, I got to hold a piece of Roswell or something in my hands, which, is way beyond what they said originally. Do you think that's the stigma that's going on? Do you think there's the stigma still there that the propensity of evidence is going to keep changing no matter what we come out with?
Rob, you know, you're right on. You are so correct right there. But the major players in the black operations world, to be honest with you, Rob, and the audience, they've been conditioned to win by attrition, by whatever means necessary. And the word relinquish or lose is not in their dictionary. So we've got to stop asking the government for answers on the ufology subject, because we're barking up the wrong tree, people. And that tree will never bear fruit, by the way. The status quo, denial, and non-disclosure, that is standard protocol and is not ever going to change. I mean, if they all of a sudden, Bob, just revealed the truth that they habitually murdered, then the American public would never trust them again. And this is where hopefully ambassadors such as myself, yourself, through your forum of your radio interview, or your host, and then all the others who are fighting the good fight, ambassadors like ourselves come into play, because we know that justice and truth just don't come automatically. And I said this before, to sin by silence when we should protest makes cowards out of men. You know, JFK was a man who said, let me think, he said, one person can make a difference and every person should try. And I wholeheartedly agree with him and his why crusaders like myself and yourself, we continue to march uphill through that war zone amount of black. And you know, the ridicule and the black world's notorious propaganda and disinformation and counterintelligence, that juggernaut, that it continues to throw our way, it's getting out of control. We're well beyond the tinfoil hat days. But these agencies, they walk between the raindrops. They're invisible. They are masters of their black craft, and they have much more than a hammer in their toolbox, people. I mean, when a threat to their agenda presents itself, their quarterback will send out its henchmen to eliminate the problem, and they excel in cleansing, rinsing, and sanitizing situations. And then they'll spin this story so that what you'll read in paper or what you'll see on TV is that they died, you know, diabolically in a car accident or a heart attack or you know, manufactured that all cloaked in suspicion from a cover-up murder. But it's their MO. It's a black world hallmark, and it's all orchestrated like a piece of theater where they receive Oscars for their acting performances. I mean, if you know how to read between the lines, which I know you do and hopefully I do, if you know how to read between the lines, then you'll know that you got touched for knowing too much and for getting too close to the truth. But you know, it really is the magic of risking everything for a dream that nobody sees but you. So, yes, Rob, embarking on this mission to write the book, it is a leap of faith. And some people, you know, there's a lot of stress involved from start to finish. It's taxing on the mind and body. It's very consuming. I would say hardest part for my to tell my story and to really leave an indelible mark upon my readers on the ufology and December 21st subjects was to incorporate pictures and illustrations, of which I have about 70 in my book, to really bring the words of my story to life and to really touch that audience. So that was the hardest part, getting the photo right, the photo copyright approvals. Very, very difficult, but I did it, and I'd love to share this with as many people as possible. It is definitely an eye-opener, and I'm still, to this day, I just love the I'm so glad I chose that title, because it really embodies the spirit of my book, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. And believe me, Rob, and everybody listening right now, there is a medley of topics included in the and beyond category.
Let me ask you, I have not read the book, obviously, but the question I have for you, did you touch anything on like a Catherine Alston Fitz?
Can you repeat that, Rob?
Did you touch on anything about like Catherine Alston Fitz that she
put? I did not. Enlighten me.
Okay, she wrote an article called What's Up with the Black Budget? You can see that online. I'm sure you probably remember what I'm talking about now. Where she's talking about pre-9/11 dollars now, where there was the disappearance of $3.3 trillion from 1998 to 2001, just missing, unaccounted for, and of that she knew that was gone. So that's just $3.3 trillion that she knew about. Now, apparently she was working she was the assistant director of HUD at the time, and so that just gives you a propensity. We're talking about $14 trillion we're in the hole now, apparently loans and all this kind of stuff. But then pre-9/11 dollars, $3.3 trillion. That you can do a lot of things with $3.3 trillion.
You could fix the home front, and when I say home front, I mean America.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When you get two wars, half a world away, it can be financially draining, and it has drained us to the brink of basically depression.
Exactly. And that's how all the empires before us have failed. They've bankrupt themselves. All the major empires across the world, they all bankrupt themselves, and they run themselves into the ground. And that's exactly what happened with the Romans. When you look at that, that's exactly what happened with England. They cannot afford to keep it up anymore, and they run themselves into the ground. Now, how does the black budget, how does the black ops play into this? Because, I mean, she brought up the point of $3.3 trillion, but it's hard for people to grasp that. I mean, quite honestly, Drew, what are black ops? I mean, we hear about black ops. I mean, people heard about the black operation with going after bin Laden, and, you know, which I think is total PR, by the way.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about how black ops work.
Black operations, black ops, they are the things that don't exist but do. They are the things that never make the front page of the paper but exist behind closed doors in secrecy. Don't be looking on the front page of the paper to read this. But these are, you know, agencies such as DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, part of the Department of Defense. Rob, do you know what I'm talking about when I say DARPA?
Yes, I do. They were actually classified for, what, 34 years? They were even...
Yes.
The existence of the organization was classified, so they didn't even exist for 34 years. Thereby, they didn't have to answer to Freedom of Information requests because there was no organization. I do know what you're talking about there. Go ahead and explain that one, because I don't think a lot of people know about that.
This is such a great subject to discuss, and I'm glad we're able to talk about this casually in today's day, because this wasn't the case not too long ago. I mean, let's be honest here, Rob, and everybody listening. Not so long ago, people swore that the Earth was flat. I mean, they swore it, or that it was located at the center of the universe. Aristotle taught that the world was round and assumed that the Earth was at the center of the universe, misleading astronomers for centuries. And, you know, furthermore, if you believed otherwise, you'd be convicted of heresy and imprisoned or even put to death, sent to the gallows, burnt at the stake. Who knows, right, Rob? I mean, just Google what happened to astronomers Copernicus and Galileo for being ahead of their time, for being visionaries, and for advocating otherwise. I mean, back in the day, this was an era of regal kings, ruthless conquerors and iron-fisted rulers, not presidents and democracies. I mean, where they could have hung you, beheaded you, or, as we said, put you in front of a firing squad or burnt you at the stake for any suspicion.
Right.
Where you'd be condemned without and without public.
Drew, you're breaking up on us a little bit. Are you still there? Drew? Oh, man. Drew, if you can hear me, give me a call right back, bud. What he's talking about is some interesting stuff. Let me run that a couple of seconds through the... what I'll do is I have this machine here, and it's got like a governmental stamp on it, and it has wires going to it. I don't know what it's for. It says feed show through here. So I have the show up, and what I'll do is I'll just feed it through and see what happens, see if anything comes out. I don't know what it's going to do. We'll see how this all works out. I don't know. Maybe we'll see how this goes.
Thought crime.
Warning, we have detected a thought crime in progress. Please wait where you are as the authorities have been notified and will arrive soon. Thank you for your cooperation. All of us here at Big Brother Incorporated wish you a nice day.
Thought crime.
The thought crime machine. I think Drew activated it with his phone call. Drew, you back with us?
I am back.
Cool. I think you activated our thought crime machine, and the authorities will be here soon, so I think they're going to...
Yeah, I'll be on... And I'll definitely drop the cell phone as my... that's a tracking device. Got my GPS coordinates. I better get rid of that.
Exactly. Hey, don't drop it in Pakistan, or they might have the Chinese look at it. So, just one of those deals, with the same thing with the tail section, top secret tail section from a plane. Yeah, we'll just let the Chinese look at it.
Yeah, sure. So
tell me, we talked about how you wrote the book and everything. The thing that's that interests me about UFOs is Stanton Friedman, a great guy to talk to about this.
I quote him in my book. Great guy.
He's an awesome guy. His thing is, I'm not interested in all UFOs. All UFOs are not saucers. I'm interested in the ones that are saucers. And things that act under intelligent control. And I think that's where you're coming from, too. Tell us a little bit more about what's your filter, because with talking about UFOs, you get all kinds, okay? Doing this show, I've dealt with all kinds, obviously. But you're only interested in a certain type and the reports from quote-unquote credible witnesses, because I hate to use that term, because then you're saying, you know, some people are not credible, and you don't have to be a police officer to be credible to me or a person of authority. You can be an everyday Joe and still be a credible witness. Give us a little bit about what kind of litmus tests you're giving to these reports, if you understand what I'm saying.
Pardon, Rob? What?
Give us a little bit of what's the litmus test for you using these in UFO reports? In other words, where did you go for your sources?
To be honest with you, I've gone all over the place, and it was a lot of legwork, a lot of hard work. Hard work is the yeast that makes the dough rise, and man, this was a long, arduous journey to get to the finish line. And like I said before, I love to share this information with anybody who finds this remotely interesting. You don't have to agree with everything or anything that I say, but if you read it, it may stir the imagination of what is possible, and that is what I want to share with you, with the audience. And I really want people, when we start talking about the 2012 topic, I don't want people to get scared, but I do want us to get prepared. What's the saying from Vince Lombardi? The best defense is a good offense.
Exactly.
Or the best offense is a good defense, something like that. So with that, we have to go on the offensive here. And if something is going to happen in the future, and we're going to talk about December 21st, 2012, and how they're linked and weaved with the ufology subject, then I'm trying to get people to prepare at not only the CIA, NSA, and government levels with a contingency plan. I'm trying to get people to prepare at the local levels, the city, the state level, so that we can all be prepared if something dire happens in the near future. We are prepared. We have a contingency plan. We've drafted up something, and it's not just pandemonium and chaos, and we become animals backed into a corner.
Let me ask you something. Let's talk about something, because, I mean, we have religious groups that I talked about in the first hour that have billboards up talking about May 21st, 2011 being the last day and day of rapture and everything like that. Let's talk about disinformation for a second, and we've all been victims of it. What is disinformation in regards to this? What have you seen as disinformation, and where is it coming from?
It is coming from the evil empire. Let's just go back, if you don't mind, Rob, when we talk about the black world.
Sure.
Because people really need to understand. Do you mind if I spend a few minutes on this?
No, go ahead. Take your time.
Thanks, Rob. Everybody needs to know that, you know, this subject is governed, owned, and regulated by the black operations world. I mean, this industry believes that this to be their prerogative, their exclusive right, and that the civilian world needs to keep out of their business. I'm advocating otherwise. My book is advocating otherwise. There's a reason this subject is untouchable, even to former senators and former presidents who in the past have been given the runaround and are habitually stonewalled. I mean, people need to realize, Rob, and everybody listening, that presidents and senators come and go, but clandestine intelligence agencies live forever with their agendas. The black world believes that this subject constitutes national security, and here's why. Because these UFOs and USOs that have been tracked by credible witnesses, generals, presidents, these are radically advanced innovations that they're dealing with, such as weaponry and propulsion systems that they're using and back engineering, and we can talk about Roswell in a bit. But in case somebody in a nutshell does not know what reverse engineering, the principle behind that is instead of assembling something from start to finish, you disassemble it from finish to start to acquire the schematics. So with that being said, these UFOs and USOs are able to penetrate our most restricted and protected airspace, evade and outmaneuver our fastest jets, and travel imperviously through the different mediums of water, air, and space. I mean, they can go to the depths of our oceans, fly around in Earth's atmospheres, and NASA has tracked this, and exit Earth's atmosphere and fly around into the black void, the abyss of space. I mean, there is nothing that we know of right now that they've revealed to the public in our arsenal that we know of that can do all three. Of course, we have the subs for the ocean that are limited by a crush hull depth. We've got the planes for the sky that litter the sky from Hong Kong to New York, and then we've got the space shuttle for space, which is in desperate need of an overhaul, if, in my opinion, if you don't mind me saying it. And if another species is looking at this space shuttle with these primitive chemical rockets, it's ape-like. It's like driving around in a Ford Model T still. So we need to revamp the space program, and I'm glad they are. But they have all three built into one machine. People need to understand that UFO does not necessarily entail little green men from Mars. It's not the tinfoil hat days we talked about. It's not anal probes. That's how they keep it ridiculed. A UFO is just their type of plane. I mean, it's that simple. What's impossible to us is very possible to them. But we're not quite there yet technologically, but we are real quickly breaking down the barriers between science fiction and science reality. I mean, so let's think about this. So once the blueprint is ascertained from back engineering within, you know, Area 51, Dulce, these kind of places, covert, underground laboratories like Lockheed Skunk Works or DARPA, you know, conducting billion-dollar funded black programs, this cutting-edge technology is then stemmed into the military-industrial complex so that they can leverage and deploy these radically advanced systems against our military adversaries. And guess what, folks? We are at war on two fronts, maybe even more than two fronts right now. But wartime DEFCON levels, you know, increase the war budget and demand that more armaments be made and manufactured. So for war profiteers and defense contractors and the companies who manufacture these components, business is great right now. During a war, you need more missiles. During a war, you need more ammunition. Who makes these products? These people don't want that war to end. I mean, I name names of companies in my book, but that rabbit hole runs deep and is very labyrinthine. But what I'm really stressing throughout the course of my book and throughout all my radio interviews, and not so much on my website, but definitely throughout the course of my book and radio interviews, I'm definitely stressing that the selfish black operations world cannot hoard this topic to themselves, because you're well aware, Rob, we have basically reached a tip right now in 2011.
What do we reach? I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. We reached what?
A tipping point on the ufology subject. Mm-hmm. Once this ufology subject is opened up to the civilian world, it is going to create millions of new jobs, which is going to propel our species into the frontier of space and beyond. I mean, we need to have civilian prodigies working alongside brilliant military minds, because once we have this collaborative effort, finally, we will be able to get into the intergalactic game. I mean, Earth is already getting a little bit crowded with its 6.6 billion people, so maybe the time has come to venture on out and colonize a new area. Most people don't even know Jupiter has 63 moons. Saturn has the ring system and 61 moons. We have a dinky one, a measly one, but it's still a beautiful moon. Mm-hmm. All of which have different environments, some of which can sustain life. And, you know, this year, logic was defied when scientists discovered that Neptune has an atmosphere very similar to Earth, yet it is the farthest planet from the sun in our solar system now that Pluto has been declassified as a planet. And, you know, with that said, there's just so much room for discovery. And with the technologies available in 2011, each and every day is bringing forth new discoveries not known the day before. I mean, what did they say? I think on the Science Channel just the other night, they changed it from 200 billion stars, Rob, to now there's 400 billion stars in our spiral Milky Way galaxy, which, by the way, is 100,000 light years across. And a light year, if anybody doesn't know, is about approximately 6 trillion miles. And furthermore, there's 100 billion galaxies in the known universe.
Yep, exactly.
That's like 10 to the 22nd power of stars in the visible universe, a number that equates to the number of sand grains on Earth.
You know, only I say this to people, and they think I'm joking half the time when I say this, but only mankind could build the Hubble telescope to see further and farther than anything else and end up with less planets. How is that possible? That's you'd think we'd be able to see more planets. No, we need to lose Pluto. We need to take it out because it's a rogue planet, or it's a dwarf star or dwarf planet or something like that.
I think, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people realize this, especially with the quantum leap and the technological advances we've made in the last 10 years, but especially wireless technology, which is not classified. I mean, everybody has this technology pretty much in today's day in their pocket, in their cell phone, on their iPhone, on their iPad. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I mean, for example, black holes, dark matter, what's the other one, Rob? Dark energy.
Dark matter, yep.
They're the foundation of the universe. Invisible, yes, but present in ways we've only begun to understand. And furthermore, our wireless signals for our digital toys, they're invisible too and contain trillions of bits of scrambled, encrypted information that's floating right in front of my face right now, right in front of your face right now, Rob, and everybody listening. It's floating right in front of your face right now, hiding in between the spaces. This invisible signal contains the internet, your banking account, routing numbers, and more information than we can possibly fathom. Yet we know this wireless technology is real, even though we cannot actually see it or touch it, but it is there. It's kind of the same principle with UFOs. And USOs. We have to change our ways of thinking, get out of that mental straitjacket. I mean, we have to see that there are no absolutes in science, and we must realize that some phenomena might be beyond our comprehension. Let me just read to the audience something that Ben Rich, the former head of Lockheed Skunk Works, said, and I quote, "We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do," end quote. That's from Ben Rich, the former head of Lockheed Skunk Works.
That is an amazing statement. Now, what he's saying is that mankind's greatest obstacle is mankind, in essence. We need to get around us, our own self.
And in 1955, General Douglas MacArthur, if anybody knows anything about war, you will know the name Douglas MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
He proclaimed that the next war will be an interplanetary war, that the nations of Earth must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets. Guy was thinking outside of the box, and I completely agree. I mean, this will be the defining moment when the human race steps out of infancy to take on an adolescent role in the cosmos. I mean, when the people of this planet, Rob, and everybody listening are forced to unite and put aside petty differences, I mean, and coalesce under one flag, an Earth flag, that will be the eye-opening moment or epiphany that will forever change the way we see ourselves, the way we see the world, and our role in the universe.
It's interesting you say that. I'm wondering if, will there ever be a time where we evolve past war?
War profiteering is the most profitable industry in the world right now.
Well, that's what Eisenhower said on his departing. He talked about the military-industrial complex and his fear of it taking over.
Yep.
It's amazing. I mean, it's out there for everybody to see. He talks about it, and I'm one of the believers. I think Kennedy was probably the last president before all this completely just engulfed, went past the presidency. The presidency used to be the pinnacle, and I think that you're right. The black ops, the unelected, unappointed people, organizations, the NRO being another one, somehow are able to cruise along. They're impervious to presidencies. They're impervious to the will of the people. And black ops, I mean, we it's incredible to see what black ops have done. I mean, we have black ops that have tried to, that have incited riots in Iran, to overturn their government. People suspect that that happened in Libya, in Egypt, that the money was spent to overturn a government. You don't need everybody in the streets. You just need a conspicuous few to do that. So, I mean, it's amazing what's going on. But, go ahead.
Sorry, did I cut you off?
No, you're fine. Go ahead. You're good.
And, you know, with the ufology subject, with the UFOs, because there's been such a ridicule, the stigma attached to it for so long, especially since after Roswell, New Mexico, in July of 1947, or what happened over the Capitol in 1952. But we're almost to the point, I said before, we're reaching a tipping point. I mean, we have to reach a point of critical mass that'll start a chain reaction of people, military individuals coming forward. And that's already happening right before our eyes in this great period of uncertainty that we are living amongst. And, you know, but in their typical behavior in the past, what they usually do, and, you know, if you would shake the pillars of power enough, they would strip you of any credentials and tarnish your name or career. So it kind of made the subject untouchable.
Right.
Nobody wanted
right.
to venture off into those turbulent, uncharted waters because they knew they'd probably be stripped of everything and their family could suffer, their name could suffer. But everything in my book and all my research that I give to you, the audience, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond, everything is indicative. UFOs and USOs are the most important item on the Black World's agenda. And if the UFOs and USOs are the most important item on the Black World's agenda, then it should be a serious priority and major area of research within the civilian world's agenda as well. I mean, we can't sit idly by anymore with December 21st, 2012, right around the corner. And then you said this recent one in May 21st. We can't sit idly by anymore. We in the civilian world, we have got to take initiative, possibly without permission. We will quickly see that schools, when you do the research, you will quickly see that Western schools especially and universities, they're teaching fallacies to be the infallible truth. 1903, and this is a big theme of my book, 1903 was not the first year of flight. Wilbur and Orville Wright were not the first. If there have been UFOs flying around in the skies for thousands of years before that.
Bing.
And once you adopt that notion, which is Giorgio Tsoukalos and all these others, they have addressed Eric von Daniken, of Chariots of the Gods. They have the ancient astronaut theory. That quickly becomes a reality, that aircraft have been around much longer than 107 years. And people really need to remember that in ancient times, there were no cameras. There were no iPhones or Blackberries or video cameras that they could pick up at Walmart or walk down the street to Target to buy to capture and preserve what they saw. No, what these people saw back in the day, they preserved by hieroglyphics, inscriptions, paintings, tapestries, cave wall renderings, scrolls, the list goes on and on. I mean, these were their camera equivalents back in an ancient, primitive era, and this was their way of taking a picture to record what they saw to pass on to future generations. It's all there, and especially in the paintings, which I will disclose that throughout the course of my book in a chapter called What the Government Doesn't Want You to Know. All of that will be disclosed to you throughout the course of my book, and I really hope that everybody who reads my book does have that epiphany, and by that last page, when you flip that over, you really realize the book lives up to its name, Open Your Eyes, Indeed, to 2012 and Beyond.
Tell people how they can get a hold of your book, Drew.
I would prefer it if you order my book off my website, and you had addressed that before. It is openyoureyes2012andbeyond.com. My book is available in your typical paperback, hardback copies, but, you know, in a 2011 world, we have to take care of Mother Earth because we only have one. So I would advocate let's help go in going green. It's Save a Tree and e-book. So my book is also available in electronic format for anybody with Kindle, Nook, iPad, etc.
Excellent. Hey, you know, the points you bring up about UFOs being seen for millennia, I mean, let's touch on a couple of them real quick. Alexander the Great. Seen it during a battle. He talks about how these spheres just appeared out of the sky, and apparently, what, did battle with each other?
Is that Jakarta River?
I think so. Is that the one where they're like he called it two shields put together, which sounds like a flying saucer to me.
Exactly.
And
you're knowledgeable. You know your history.
I get into this stuff. This is me. Columbus talks about lights that he saw on his maiden voyage to America.
I've got that in my book. If you want to know what happened in 1492 on the maiden voyage, what happened with their flagship, and actually all the ships, and what every sailor witnessed, please buy this book. I think you'll be blown away by what is revealed in Columbus's journals.
Exactly, exactly. And it's interesting that he kept two journals, one for this crew to look at, and one that he kept for himself, which had the actual location of where he was at. I found that interesting, too.
And where was the location where they spotted the USO, which turned to a UFO once it went airborne, right over the Bermuda Triangle, one of the deepest places of the Atlantic Ocean?
Very interesting how that, I didn't realize it was there.
The point is, and it was right by Puerto Rico, is that in Puerto Rico, everybody knows who's in the ufology community. Puerto Rico is a UFO, a USO hotspot.
Yeah.
But the point is, to the audience, our ancestors were painting the exact same classic saucer disc-shaped UFO back then that we are currently seeing in present day 2011. So this is nothing new, people.
Exactly, exactly. If you want to give us a call and ask Drew a question or talk about a certain subject, give us a call at 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243. Interesting what you're bringing up here, Drew. Let's talk about 2012, and let's explain to people that might not know, how did we get this date of December 21st, 2012? How did this come about?
This is what really compelled me to write the book, December 21st, 2012, and the ufology subject. That's really the meat and potatoes of the book. And why I wrote this book was to raise consciousness and raise the flag of awareness on a subject that has been perpetually murdered by disinformation and counterintelligence campaigns for far too long on the subject matter of ufology, of UFOs, USOs, and especially December 21st, 2012. And the reason I wrote the book was to raise the consciousness worldwide, not just America. I want the world to know about this and give them the unsugarcoated approach and look at from a different angle, a different light about 2012. But let me tell you all listening here today that there's a very good reason why UFO and USO activity has spiked in recent years, like with the recently seen UFO over China's airport that went viral. It's because Mother Earth herself is in trouble and about to have a temper tantrum. Something has apparently stirred the hive. And that something, in my opinion, is the once every 25,800-year Great Galactic Alignment set to commence on December 21st, 2012. The end of time as we know it. This is what I advocate throughout my book. Now, these other species, they might have seen this episode before. It could be a rerun for them, and they're obviously preparing for something big due to the spike activity. But to us, this is new. I mean, Rob, we've never seen this episode before. But if every prior 25,800-year Great Galactic Cycle ended in disaster, shouldn't we be a little concerned about the future events to come? I mean, there are just too many prophecies. Let me name a few. The Maya, the Inca, the NASA, the ancient Egyptians, the Bible Code, the Hopi Indians, the Black Elk of the Sioux Indians, the I Ching Oracle, Christ, Merlin, Nostradamus, St. Malachi, the Wedbot Oracle, and Albert Einstein, all predicted, and by the way, the list goes on and on, all predicted different time periods in history that converge on 2012 to just shrug off and ignore. I mean, hundreds to thousands of years apart from different worldwide locations long before 1903 and before anything took flight. So we must undo the deception and once and for all address and acknowledge the giant elephant standing in the room. I mean, the UFO link is the missing link. The UFO phenomenon is real and has been real long before we were even here.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting you're bringing that up about that. And you have Quetzalcoatl, and some people pronounce that differently, so I may be butchering the pronunciation there. But so many people have written UFO books, and the question I have for you, and understand what I'm saying to you, I'm saying this as a paranormal guy to you, and I, you know, don't take this the wrong way. Have you shot yourself in the foot by writing this book because of the no-no factor in writing these type of things?
I think from being in the Marine Corps, it's weathered me enough to be a seasoned vet, to the point where I can take the heat, I can take the ridicule. Of course, it throw me a curveball that I'm not waiting on. That may stir the storm a little bit, but right now I've been able to field any kind of flack that has come my way. And to be honest with you, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than all of us. So we cannot just sit idly by anymore. This has to be addressed, and it is being addressed not only by myself and countless others, but by generals and presidents. And like I said many times, we have reached that tipping point in 2011. This is a big year.
This is a big year. I think this is the year that we kind of make a transition. And do you think that the events leading up to this moment, how they played into it? Are they indicating that a big change is coming or not?
There's so many things. There's so many spokes on this wheel, all moving forward towards December 21st, 2012, and the UFO and the USO, December 21st, the Mayan. All that's just a spoke. There is so much that I weave and integrate together in this book. But when you take, let's talk about December 21st, 2012 again.
Sure.
Near-Earth objects, NEOs. Have you heard of this terminology from NASA?
Yeah.
They are finding new NEOs every day. I mean, the funds available to track these, you know, for these NEO tracking agencies will only allow for a small fraction of the night sky to be watched and monitored. So, you know, an asteroid could hit the reset button on planet Earth, an unforeseen NEO. You know, it could hit the reset button on planet Earth, just like with the dinosaurs. And I'm trying to tell people, you know, be grateful for today, pray for tomorrow, because we are fragile guests on planet Earth. And that's just NEOs, by the way, 90% of which are uncataloged, according to NASA.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of stuff, this is very interesting, all this stuff. And I love to have a good dialogue about this. And I hope we can get some callers to ask some questions. But, you know, an unforeseen asteroid boring into the Earth's crust or polar shift or something like that, which is foreseen to occur in the near future, that could trigger worldwide earthquakes, which, you know, could spawn towering 1,000-foot tsunamis. And half the world's population lives within, 50 miles from the coastline?
Yep.
So it would inundate and flood low-lying areas. And we know how vulnerable we are. Why are we pretending to be invincible? Did you see what the one little small Icelandic volcano did to Europe? It crippled all of its airspace.
Yeah, for 10 days, 2 weeks, more than that?
That was last year. That was just a small volcano. That wasn't even Mount St. Helens big. Now, we start talking about a super volcano,
yeah.
like Yellowstone National Park. Oh, it's a beautiful park. It's a beautiful national park. Guys, hey, there's wild.
Drew, we have a call up on line one. You're up on the Paranormal Cafe.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Pete, man. How goes it, sir?
It's going pretty good. I'm actually called. Hello, Drew. Great show.
Thanks, man.
Hey, very good.
Hey, listen, I'm only calling in because I just kind of heard you sort of make a request for callers.
Yeah.
The fact is, I'm going to tell the listeners not to call in.
You guys are
having such a great show tonight. And, Drew, your enthusiasm is fantastic. Fantastic. I'm on your website right now, Open Your Eyes to 2012andbeyond.com. Great stuff. I'm just, surfing around while you guys are chatting it up. So I'm just calling to say, keep up the good work. Let me get the hell off the line and keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, do you have any comment? Other than that, of course, that's a heck of a compliment.
You guys are doing a great show tonight. Once again, Drew, great enthusiasm.
He's a man.
I appreciate that. Thank you, and God bless you.
Right, I'm definitely going to pick up your book, without a doubt.
Thanks, Pete.
I appreciate
you,
that.
You guys have a good night.
Take care, man.
Good night.
It's always nice to have a phone call like that, you know what I mean? They're just, Pete's a regular caller, so he's very enthusiastic about it, and he's very knowledgeable, too. So he's not one to mince words with that kind of stuff.
The gentleman who just called in, and everybody else who is the same way, God bless you. I mean, that's what inspires me to keep pushing, for yourself, Rob. That's motivation, and that's motivation in its purest form. When you feel that direct feedback from your audience, that the world that you see from behind your eyes, when you share that and they actually relate with you, that's what drives us to keep going.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I was fortunate at a very young age to have the veil pulled away. I don't even think it was given enough time to get put in place, to tell you the truth. I had a very encouraging mother, not to for flights of fancy, but just to question, just to ask, and to explore for yourself. Do you think, I look at the 60s, man, and I'll tell you something, people had sit-ins, students protested, and people protested over the, and I hate to say this because it sounds trivial, but over the drop of a hat, they'll probably protest. Hey, we're going to the protest. You don't have that on campuses nowadays. Have we conditioned our kids to be more accepting?
Well, I can definitely tell, are you talking about more accepting as far as the ufology subject is concerned? Because if you look around you, I mean, the movers and shakers who are controlling the media puppet strings, or the media puppet strings, they've already started conditioning and desensitizing and grooming the mass public for the acceptance, for the eventual acceptance of alien life through everything we see from billboards, advertisements, a lot of stuff on TV, a lot of these Pixar films, Disney films, they all have the alien characters going on right now. So this topic is really starting to heat up once again.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, my theory on it, and this is just my two cents worth, is I think that the government will come forth with disclosure only when it becomes financially feasible to do so. Once they need a project paid for that they can't sneak through black ops, that they can't get through any other way, that they can't sell weapons on the terrorist market or sell drugs to other countries or on the streets of L.A., once they can't do that anymore, then the disclosure will come forward only to get money. That's my personal feeling on it. I don't think they're going to ever want to come forward with it just for the sake of being honest. That's out the window. But I think they will do it once they realize we can't get any more money out of these saps. We're going to have to come up with some kind of disclosure. And even at that, it's going to be a lame disclosure. I mean, it's not going to be they're never going to try to release all their documentation. Look what they did with Roswell. You see it. They destroyed their destroyed or missing files, as they call them.
I would love to, this is not even my book, but I just want to plug Colonel Philip Corso's book. I mean, and he's, rest in peace, he's deceased. But if anybody has read the book, The Day After Roswell,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is also an eye-opener. This guy, in a nutshell, let's just talk about it for a second. This guy was a key Army intel officer who served on General MacArthur's staff in Korea and later on President Dwight D. Eisenhower's National Security Council for 21 years. He had a military career and was the former head of the Foreign Technology Desk at the U.S. Army's Research and Development Department of the Pentagon. And the alien artifacts that they recover from Roswell, mm-hmm. And he discloses this throughout the court through the pages of his book, The Day After Roswell, but changed the course of 20th century history. Night vision, Kevlar, bulletproof material, integrated circuit chips, autonomous machines, which we're now field testing and using over in Iraq and Afghanistan, wireless technology, fiber optics, lasers, super tenacity fibers. You know, all of that was seeded through the reverse engineering of the Roswell alien technology. That was seeded to the giants of American industry through what crashed at Roswell in 1947. And I definitely believe, obviously, that, yes, something did crash and they did cover it up.
You know, Roswell is the... You know, the naysayers, and I say I don't even like to say skeptics at this point. The cynics of the world will say, you know, it's convenient. Roswell never happened. It was just a weather balloon. You know, blah blah blah, yada yada yada.
Mogul.
Yeah, Mogul. Project Mogul. That's the big one. I think Joe Nickel is pushing.
Right.
Question for you on that. How, with a case like that, that is, I mean, and the witnesses, like you say, they're it's a war of attrition. With the witnesses dying off and they're just not around anymore, like Corso's gone and all that kind of stuff, what's the next case that you see? I mean, I have a pet case that I consider probably one of the biggest cases in UFO history, but what do you consider the biggest UFO cases of recent? Fairly recent, within the past 25, 30 years.
Oh, man, the Phoenix Lights. That was that was so big. I mean, even the governor, that the stature of the governor, Fife Symington, coming out and saying, of course, 10 years after the fact, but he did admit that, yes, it was otherworldly, most likely, what they saw that night. They hopped over the Phoenix Valley in 1997. I believe it was March 17th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was March 17th, exactly.
And that was a night that really changed the lives of thousands of Phoenix residents. And then, of course, you've got the big sightings at Chicago O'Hare, mm-hmm. both at 2006 over the United Terminal, and then you had the one in Tinley Park, Illinois. So there have been a lot of mass sightings lately. A lot of them could be, though, I will say this, possibly the TR-3B Astra, the Project Aurora, our new, you know, stealth craft that they're still testing.
Is that the one that they're using some kind of pulse propulsion or something like that? They believe they're using like a pulse propulsion?
It's definitely not your standard that they need fuel.
Hey, Drew, give me 2 seconds. I got to do some ID real quick. We'll be right back in a few seconds here. Hold on. Okay, there we go.
You're listening to 1520 AM WCAG Westchester, heard worldwide at WCAG1520.com.
Very cool, very cool. I had to do the ID at the top of the hour for us. Question for you. With Aurora and everything like that, I mean, I think, let's talk about NASA, because I've had more than my share of beef with these guys.
A straight answer for everybody listening. But I love NASA. It's a love-hate thing, okay?
Yeah.
So I would like more disclosure.
Well, here's the thing. I think we've been playing around with the space shuttle for far too long, and NASA really stands for Need Another Space Agency, because NASA is not what they put it up as. They put it up as the people's organization and this, that. It's far from it. It is a government arm.
It's a camouflage.
Exactly. So at this point, we've, you know, they supposedly defunded the Constellation program, and we're supposedly, now NASA's off on some kind of, you know, they don't even know what NASA's working on anymore. Was this set up intentionally? It was set up to defund, but I mean, do you think it's a good thing that the space shuttle program is actually getting defunded at this time?
To be honest with you, the answer, no. I would like to be going full steam ahead to the stars and beyond. When you see our Earth from an astronaut's perspective, our blue sphere, 7 continents and all of our oceans just floating, this blue sphere just floating in the void, the black void, the abyss, the vacuum of space, yet teeming with life below on every continent and in every ocean, even in the deepest parts of Challenger Deep and the Mariana Trench. Man, it's just an eye-opening experience. We forgot to be humble. We forgot to be modest when we look up into the night star or night sky and just think about our very existence. And, as of February of this year, NASA has identified around 1,200 potential Earth-like worlds with its Kepler planet-hunting probe. Have you heard of this one?
I did.
Yeah, and we just recently got into this game. I mean, just recently, the last, whatever, 20, 30 years, really the last decade. And we just got into this game, and NASA's planet-hunting probe has already discovered more worlds than most can possibly even fully comprehend. I mean, America and the world, we need a revitalized interest in the adventure and mystery of space and beyond. I mean, too many people right now are trying to keep up with the Kardashians or watching Jersey Shore. I mean, we must stop looking down in a trance at our wireless voice or to text message. Stop looking down text messaging and remember to look up once in a while, because what is truly important isn't being seen as important right now. And this is where disinformation and all those kind of propaganda campaigns come into play. It's mind control. It's psychological warfare. But if I could say where to explore, I would say the key, the immediate key. If we want answers right now, and if I have the ability and the power and the clout to make this a reality, the key is to explore Earth's deep seas, which we have explored like 1% of the deep seas. The far side of the moon, Saturn's moon Titan, as well as Jupiter's moons Io and Europa, what we will find will revolutionize astrobiology or exobiology and alter our existence.
You said it, man. You said it. Tell everybody how to tell everybody about your website and how to get your book.
Once again, I appreciate you allowing me to plug my book and for the opportunity to speak to you, and not only you, your audience. My website is www.openyoureyes2012andbeyond.com. You can purchase my book from there. Like we said before, please buy an ebook if you have Kindle or an iPad and save a tree and go green. And if we're going to end right now, I'd always like to leave people with a quote from John F. Kennedy, who said, he's such a great man. As you can tell, I'm definitely a big JFK fan. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I choose the smartest candidate, but I definitely was a big fan of JFK, the people's president. Mm-hmm. When he was shot, man, that's the day America died. But one person can make a difference, and every person should try. And that's what I always leave my audience on, and I always say God bless.
Thank you very much, Drew. You're always welcome here, sir. Much success on the book is wished, and I'll have to keep in touch with you and have you on very, very soon again, man.
Yes, sir, and much respect to you as well. I really admire what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and if you're going to do any appearances or anything, let me know. I'll update people on it, and we'll have you come back on and tell people about where you're going, where you're going to be at.
And folks, if you're listening, I'd love to hear your comments, concerns, anything. You may not agree with everything I've said, but hopefully I've said enough to, you know, stir your interest and your imagination and to really kind of open your eyes. So please, the tip of the iceberg is my website. If that interests you, remotely interests you, please dive on into the book, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond.
Drew Maris, Open Your Eyes to 2012 and Beyond. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Thank you.
Anytime. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Drew Maris, what an interview. He Pete's right on that. He was shot out of a cannon. Very cool. I'm very happy he came on. We had a little bit of problem with scheduling, all on my part, of course, but very, very interesting. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break real quick. When we come back, I'm going to have some more stories about the different things in the news, and we can even discuss the Drew interview here. You're listening to the Paranormal Cafe.